fortunate. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we have no other place but in you. You've given birth to us, and there's no safe place outside of your presence. Spirit, soul, and body, you are our habitation. And so we trust in you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Father, thank you for your spirit that draws us together to fulfill the desires of your heart. You take pleasure in the gathering of your people to give you the glory you desire. A heart of gratitude, a heart of worship. Father, let nothing deny us of this privilege. Nothing in us, nothing in the heaven, and nothing beneath us. We take us from the place of worship. It's all we have. There is only that we have. Let nothing deny us the privilege to worship you, to glorify you, and to give honor to you. You are worthy. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. You know, I was coming here this morning and I was weeping in my heart how a lot of people in Iran and Saudi Arabia, China, and so many places in the world, they know that when it comes to corporate worship, as it is in heaven, so on earth, they know the power of why God assembles his people, just to honor God, just to worship God. They know the power, and they know what God does. And they know that's all that God is needing from us. So they know they can't just do it in their houses alone. They risk their lives to meet in secret places. They give up. They know if they are caught in a congregation worshiping, they will be killed. But they are still doing it today at the cost of their life. Amen? So I thank God for Tennessee State Government. My heart prays for that governor every day. I now see the need to pray for our leaders. Because if a leader doesn't have the fear of God, don't understand what God can do for a community of faith, they will rule based on fear. I thank God that there is a man who says the place of worship is safe. As long as they keep all the natural limitations everybody do at their workplaces. Everybody go to work. Everybody go to gatherings. There was also, look at the inauguration. Our leaders proved it's okay to gather. As long as you have masks. Hugging. Loving one another. With masks. So there is a need to gather when it's important. But most of all, not when it's to God. It's not something to compromise. It's for our own good. So I thank God so much that we have the privilege to give God this kind of incense. When we something happens when you worship God. You can never substitute worship with people. It's amazing. I thank God for that opportunity he's given us and for those online that are worshiping the Lord. Amen.
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 Amen. God is good.
All the time.
Amen. And another word in the Bible says, God is good. You say what?
All
the time. But there's the other side. All the time.
God is good.
Amen.
Amen.
Think about it when you're going through some difficult time. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Mm. Hallelujah. The what the Lord has put on my heart this morning. Before we go into that, by the way, I just want to thank all of you that have been so obedient in obeying the mandate of God and the assignment of God upon this house and so many houses of worship But all I know is those of you and those online that responded to our call to pray for a nation. And when God reveals something, it's good for us to respond. Amen. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to mention that because last Sunday, we were calling you to a time of prayer. And by now, you know the results of it. I wasn't going to even bring it up or say anything because you already know what God has done. But as we're praying this morning, there was something God showed to me while it was giving me more understanding of why he mobilized prayer. And as we're praying, Pastor Emmanuel in his prayer mentioned something. And I said, okay, I'll just mention a little bit what happened over the government. The Lord was showing me this week why when he asks us to pray or lead us to do something we don't understand, and especially when we pray in the spirit, 1 Corinthians 14 says our understanding is fertile. In other words, when we pray in the spirit, it says howbeit in the spirit we're praying mysteries that we don't understand, and we should pray for understanding. Amen?
Amen.
So when we pray in the spirit, it's the Holy Ghost that prays. Why does the Holy Ghost pray? Because we have blind spots. Amen?
Amen.
We have limitation. So the Lord will show me what he did this week. You know, when two people are going to fight or confront each other, there is none of them that believe they will lose. Amen?
Amen.
But it's until after the fight, somebody finds out that he lost. Amen? So, the person that never believed they would lose and eventually lost is because they had a blind spot of what the enemy had in mind. So, it was showing me that why do we have majority of the time car crash? Why do cars have accidents? They were not expecting to have accident. You're just driving simply on the road, having fun. You know the path you're going, you know you're going to get to your destination. You have a destination in mind. But somehow, you get a trailer going this way. Okay? So, and this thing in the car called a blind spot. And many times, it is because of that blind spot, you don't see this thing coming and you just touch it. And that's what we call accident. Crash. That's what would have happened to America this week, last week. The nation would have crashed because of blind spot. And God saw it, that whatever is being conceived or whatever is happening, they were not seeing the blind spot because the enemy had a plan, spiritual and even physical. But that part men cannot see. God saw it and God said, let me deal with it. And then God dealt with it and the nation become as cold, quiet. So we give God glory.
Hallelujah.
One of the assignments of this house is spiritual government. Amen?
Amen?
So this morning, because of where God is taking us and where God is taking you and what God is doing, how many of you understand that you can't give a child milk all the time? Amen?
Amen.
If you drink milk now, it's just for you to maybe use it for cereal and some other things that you want to enjoy to get some vitamin D. But for little children that are just born, you give them milk. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So, sometimes we can drink milk as adults, but what makes an adult mature is meat. So, because of where God is taking us, there are a few things the Lord has been sharing. I say, God, what do I do? How do we... There's a training we do online. Some people... You know, but you have levels of people in a congregation. It's not a... you have different levels. Different people at different levels. So how do... You know, so... The wisdom of the Lord will convey it. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And God wants to take us gradually. Because where we're going, it can never be stopped again. This is God's time. Nations can't control it. Presidents can't control it. The church can't stop it. Nothing can stop it. This is the hour of God's time. And what he's doing in the earth is already revealing itself. And God now wants us to be very sensitive as he's gradually walking us in that direction. Amen?
Amen.
But to be able to flow with him, I pray that we can start at least from here and start eating some meat. Amen?
Amen.
Jesse, you eat, I saw you eating chicken the other day when you were doing your birthday. You eat chicken, isn't it? And you are eating it very well. What I'm going to share, what I'm going to share is like spiritual chicken meat. Amen? So we all can eat it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's open our Bibles together to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'll read from verse 10. Finally, my brothers and sisters, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the deceptions of the enemy, of the devil. Verse 12 is our focus. For we wrestle, we war, we fight not against flesh and blood.
Amen.
But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of, not of where, this world.
Amen.
Of this world. The world we live in. Spiritual wickedness against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in what? Some translation will say in heavenly places. So I want you to have that in mind, and then he goes further to say, wherefore take on unto you the armor, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to what? Stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth, and having on the breastplate of what? Righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of what? Peace. Above all, taking on the shield of faith, wherefore you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Amen.
And take on the helmet of what? Salvation. And then what? The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. So we're not going to look at all this because there's so many all kinds of teaching. You can go research it. There are good ones. There are all kinds. Everything he's talking about here is spiritual maturity and the training to be a soldier. But we're going to look at more verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and blood. And then we're going to look at verse 17b. And the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let's open to the book of John. Thank you, Father. John chapter 1. I want us to open up there. Look at it. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, W-O-R-D, was what? with God, and the Word was what? God. The seed was in the beginning with what? God. All things were made by the Word, by Him. And without the Word or Him was not anything made that was what? Made. In Him, this is the Word now, was what?
Life.
And the life was what? The light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. In other words, the darkness cannot resist it. Father, I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Thank you that no man can teach your word. No man can reveal. It says the anointing that lives in us. It is your spirit that is the teacher. So Holy Spirit, only you can bring understanding, conviction, and righteousness. Only you can empower us not to just be hearers, but to be doers. So I thank you. I thank you for speaking to our hearts and empowering us, revealing Jesus to us, in us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. I brought some things here because I want to use illustrations. Amen?
Amen.
So I brought a few things here that will help me. Amen.
Amen.
In the beginning. Now, let me qualify what I'm about to tell you. It's going to be almost 30 years this year that I gave my life to God in America. If by this time I don't know the God I'm talking about, I don't believe, I better die and go to heaven. There's no need wasting my time. 30 years, I'm preaching nonsense. I don't believe. How will you have the Word of God, have the Holy Spirit, and say you're a Christian? 30 years, you don't still know what you're talking about. No testimony, no confrontation with darkness. How will you say God is real? This is not letter. The world we live in is a reality. If God is not real to you by now, then we really need to really seriously repent. Amen?
Yeah.
And we need to repent every day. Amen.
Amen.
So what I'm about to share with you, I have experienced things. I don't want to say too much, but I've experienced things that makes me know that God is real. I've experienced things that make me know the devil is real.
Mm-hmm.
And I've experienced things that make me know that there is no competition between the devil and God.
Mm-hmm.
Light and darkness don't fight. When light shows up, darkness goes away. There is no contest. The only way there is contest was because of sin. And God had to come and take care of it for us. After He's taking care of that, now He's giving us the baton to come into the place where these things are real. And that's the training we've been experiencing. And part of the training, God will, you don't go do training and not experience things that makes it real. Amen?
Amen.
So, we want to start really understanding our identity in God and be a blessing to people. And after this message, until God, we feel comfortable in this place for God to start moving in people's life. And you see people being delivered in your until we feel comfortable. I want to encourage you. There's some of you that battle all kinds of things, go through all kinds of things. There's a promotion in our newsletter that says Turning Point. Call the church office and schedule some time for you to go through some levels of deliverance. There's too many people struggling in church, battered and going through a lot, that don't understand where that battle is coming from. Amen? And that can hinder your spiritual growth. So, we're very busy with what we're doing. I want God to start really doing a corporate work, but there's such a brokenness for that need. So we're going to make some room to start doing deliverance as much as possible. Amen? In the beginning, John said, was God. And in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was what? God. So, in the beginning, everything that God started revealing, it started with God. In John, 1 John chapter 1, it says God is light. And in Him, there is no darkness at all. Amen?
Amen.
So, we're not going to go through the whole Bible describing heaven. You can read the book of Revelation. But I just want to share with you the three levels of the spiritual world. The first level of the spiritual world is the level where God rules. That's heaven. Paul says, I know not a man that was caught up in the spirit in the third heaven. Third heaven. He mentioned it. Third heaven. So that is the place God dwells. God is the embodiment of that place. And if you read Revelation chapter 4 and 5, it describes that atmosphere. And so many places in the Bible. That place has no beginning. It has no end. It is God. Amen? And that place is full of light. We can't go into the details. It's not electric light. God is light. Everything there is light. So, as the time for God to weigh the hearts of angels came, who knows how long, who knows when their heart was being weighed, the Bible says in Ezekiel 28 and also in Isaiah 14, it mentioned about this cherub called Lucifer. It says when they were being weighed, iniquity was found in his heart and he was cast out of heaven. And that word iniquity was cast out of heaven. Lucifer was cursed. And God didn't take his power away. He just cursed him. And so he was cast out of light. And Lucifer became darkness. So now, darkness, this is the first heaven, that's the third heaven where God was. When Lucifer was cast out, he became what you call the power of darkness. Amen. I just read it to you. Wicked spirits in the heavenly places. That it became what Jesus, Paul says, were translated out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Amen. So we have God first. Amen.
Amen.
We have God first. Then we have Lucifer on the second level. Amen? So now, these are the various levels of, thank you, Jesus. These are the various levels of existence. One is mostly spiritual beings, described in Revelations, what they are. The second were angels, demonic spirits cast out. And also they have a base in hell. But a wicked spirits in the second heaven. These places are spiritual entities. So now, God wants to establish and multiply sonship in the kingdom. So God created the heavens and the earth. He said, let us make this earthly realm. So God created the heavens and the earth. Now when he says heavens and he's talking about the galaxies now. that the science have not even been able to research. The tangible heavenly realms that they are trying to remove all these things, the galaxies. And then part of these galaxies is the earthly realm where we live. God made it, and when God made it, God created man in it. And God says he created animals, created everything in it, but he said, let us make man in our own what? Image. So God breathed into man. So now this becomes the third place where spirits live. So a living, God created and it became a living soul. That means every human being that was born into the earth, when they lose their physical body, they must again regain, go back to where their spirit will eventually live forever. So these three levels of spiritual existence is where God dwells, where God has, is allowing Satan to control for a season until his time is over, and then where man dwells, made in the image of God. When God first established man, the first thing he did was God gave man this authority from heaven. He placed Adam and caused this to rest upon him. And so Adam was connected to this atmosphere. And as long as he's connected to this atmosphere has to give way. See, that one has to give way. If you bring that stand for me, I want to, if somebody can help me with that stand. This atmosphere has to give way. Amen?
Amen.
Let me make this thing clear. No, I mean this one, sorry. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, this is God's atmosphere. Now, when God empowers you, God gives you authority, God gives you power, this atmosphere rules. Why does it rule? It doesn't mean that this does not exist. Whenever God finds a people here that is empowered, this dominates, this is suspended from power. And so, at the time in the garden, God was working, this atmosphere was really, Adam was under the righteousness of God, the glory of God, the power of God. Amen?
Amen.
So, God says, now, you don't understand the atmosphere you carry, you're clothed, but this is what this atmosphere will empower you to do. You're going to become a representation of heaven in human form. What does that mean? It says, you carry dominion, the authority of heaven. You carry the power of heaven. And because you represent heaven, whatsoever under in the earth is under your control, under your power. That's what it's called. See, so you can subdue, you can rule, you can reign. Amen?
Amen.
So as long as this was there, no problem. Adam and Eve had no problem. So what happened is this. The Bible calls it, we call it sin. But really if you study it, it's iniquity. Yeah. Iniquity means rebellion, disobedience. Yeah. And it's not something you do with, casually, mistakenly, ignorantly. Iniquity is different from that. Iniquity is an intentional desire to become and to apply that. Yeah. So, the enemy came, he didn't tell them about this, because the enemy knows what this is. He knows, he didn't tell them how he got here, that this is darkness. He did it because iniquity, disobedience, to overthrow God. Disobedience, rebellion was found in his heart, and he was cast out. He didn't tell them that you will become this when you rebel against God. So basically, if you read the Bible, it says, by the disobedience of one man, and by the obedience of one man. So everything, so by the You all know how that came about. By the disobedience of Adam and Eve, by Adam, who was given power. So we know what happened. By the deception that came, as soon as they disobeyed, this came upon man. And God is here. Amen? So now, man is now under the God of the darkness, the God of this world. This is what. So, as soon as God stepped out, man fell. That's what we call it for. The absence of God is death. The soul that sinned shall die. The wages of sin is death. Amen?
Amen?
Man's soul became dark. Became darkened. Disconnected from light. From the kingdom of God. So they lost the authority. And Satan told Jesus, it was given unto me. So, this is why they call the God of this world has blinded us, man, from the light. So once this is here, you don't see light. So the whole world is in darkness. And when you don't see light, you operate under what you know. So when we say the world is under darkness, it doesn't mean electric light. You can have electric light. So what this happens now, this Ephesians chapter 6, God trained Paul as a general in the body of Christ. As Paul forgot all religion and went for 14 years and 3 years initially to say, God, I must know, I want to know everything about your kingdom. I want to know what is stopping, what is keeping, and God revealed everything to him. And with the knowledge Paul received, one man with understanding changed the world. Literally. Demolished darkness, harvest nations, and wrote the most mysteries of the kingdom to ages to come. And in his writing to the powerful church of that time, he says, the battle here has nothing to do with human beings, flesh and blood. When human beings start fighting flesh and blood, it's because of ignorance and confusion. He said, if you want to change any situation in this physical realm, it has to come from the spiritual realm. Amen?
Amen.
Because this is where the governments are. Amen?
Amen.
God is the ultimate government.
Amen.
Satan has his government. Amen. Paul just said it. Everything you see that is evil comes from here. Everything good and wisdom comes from here, James says. And then, because these people are here, human beings in darkness, they are manipulated. So that's what they call the hidden nation. So, really quick, without going through the whole Bible, I just wanted to give you this concept. Amen?
Amen.
So now, why did I use this book? Because eventually we're going to go into more understanding about all these things. So finally, Jesus came. Because man has sinned, iniquity, no man can obey and give their life. So Jesus left here and became what? John said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And if you read verse 14, it says, the Word became what? Flesh. And dwelt in this realm as man. So, he says, the Word is the life of God. The Word is the light of God that shines in man. So, God left here, the Son, and became flesh. As soon as Jesus came, in his time, he became the first begotten of the Father. The first manifestation of here. I'll soon explain it to you. When he came here, he says, he is now the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. So when Jesus came, he brought this. This is the atmosphere he lived. This was suspended. How was this suspended? Satan came like he did to Adam and Eve and tempted him before he started ruling. He tempted him, he said, why should I allow you to rule this earth? You are in the flesh. You are in my realm. You are in my realm. I've been given power over this earth. Why will I allow you to do what you want to do. That's what the Bible calls the temptation in the wilderness. How did he do it? He said Satan, he was led there by the Spirit for confrontation. And so when he went there, he was fasting, the devil comes saying, if you are the Son of God, do this. If you are the Son of God, do this. If you are the Son of God, Jesus took, remember we said, Paul says, we're fighting principalities and powers, and the weapons of power, he says, the word of God is what? The sword of the Spirit. Jesus manifested here, he knew exactly how to fight and knew who he was. He did not try to every word that came out of his mouth was a sword. It was a weapon of war. Satan will say what he said, it is written that. Satan will say, it is written that. It is written that. And the devil was the joke. So the devil ran away and said, you have right to rule. You know who you are. You are the Son of God, and we cannot stop you. So he took that realm, and Jesus lived the example of an open heaven as a son. But nobody could. Of course, you have different individuals who pierced through this darkness all through generations and rule, like Joseph, like Abraham. They pierced under the anointing of the Lord. So now, after Pentecost, God has restored this for only those who know who they are in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And so these two have been contending. Now, when we get born again, okay, let me just explain it to you. This is the earth, this is the second heaven, this is this. So now, Jesus gave us an example that he came from here, I came from my Father, he came from here and manifested the sonship of God, and then God anointed him, and he changed the atmosphere for the time he was here and brought heaven, an open heaven. The Bible says as he was being baptized, the heaven opened. He lived under an open heaven of the power of the Spirit and ruled over darkness. Amen? And operated. So when he rose, he died and rose from the dead, he says now, when a corn of wheat dies, it brings forth fruit. Amen? You plant something. So now he has reproduced sons and daughters. And that started from the book of Acts. So from the book of Acts, from where the church started, going back from where we started, what happened? Where we started was Jesus handed the apostles this atmosphere. What does it mean to live in this atmosphere to be? It means exactly what Paul started explaining to the church, the mysteries of God. He says, the moment we are buried with Christ, we die with Christ, and we are risen with Christ, he says, we are seated with him in this place, far above all principalities, far above all powers, far above all rulers of that, far above everything, because we are his. We are now here, positioned, and we are here. So what does that mean? Well, we live in this place. So that means, from the fall of man, this was the position, from the fall of man, Satan was ruling over the world. Before we got born again, we were here. This is the atmosphere. Once we fell, that's the atmosphere the whole world is living under. Kings and kingdoms and presidents are living under this. The moment you get born again, and we'll go there very soon. The moment, the reason it says to be born again is not the flesh, as the flesh is this, is here. The moment you're born again means the very DNA of God, the Word of God, the life of God, the Word, the incorruptible Word of God, we are born again by that seed. By that heavenly seed, by that DNA of God, we are born again. We still live there. We're born again here. Amen?
Amen.
So the moment we are born again, listen to this. Our atmosphere, our citizenship shifts to this. Every born again child, the moment we are born again, immediately positional in the spirit, this is what has happened. But in manifestation, we still live this way. Paul says, as long as we are children, we are still slaves under the rudiments and the elements and the control of the affairs of this world. But when we come to maturity as sons, the maturity will come to the knowledge of the stature of Christ. We mature in Christ like Paul and the apostles. We mature in Christ. That's when this becomes a reality. We are born again. This is really a reality, but we don't see it. This is still what is in control. Even though we are born again, even though we are in church, we still think like this. The children of Israel came out of Egypt still thinking Pharaoh was in charge. They left Pharaoh's domain. They are in the wilderness under the cloud of God, but still in their soul, Pharaoh's darkness was controlling them. It was a few of them, like Joshua, like Caleb, like Moses, and some of them realized, really, we are now under the cloud by the end. We are now really under heaven, not under Egypt. And with that understanding that this is what they are under, God says they will possess the enemy's territory.
Amen.
So they had a different mentality. They had a different mind, because now they know this is the cloud by day and the fire by night. When they don't see it and they were walking, they knew who was now the seat of government. The mature believers, this is what they see over them. And this rules overthrows darkness. But those who perish in the wilderness, they came out, they were born again, but they were still babies. They still see from their soulish realm this to be in control. This was their fear. This empowered them. This is all they based their strength on. And they could not enter the promise and possess what God has, except those who have understood the cloud over their lives. My brothers and sisters, the moment you come out of Egypt, you'll be restored to this cloud. Until you mature, you will not know that this is what you're under. David says in Psalm 91, in the Old Testament, when he discovered the covenant, Abraham discovered his identity, he says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. It's in the flesh, but he says, this is the shadow that covers me. Darkness, he says, anything darkness does cannot penetrate this. Because what you have made the Lord your God, your covering, your habitation. Not, you don't see it, but this is what David said. You are secure under this cloud. And he lived in it. He walked in it. He experienced it. Because under this cloud is what the Bible calls open heaven. How many of you will have a father, has power, has authority, you live in his house? Why would he permit something to happen? Who is there that knows your father will come to your father's house and hunt you? That means you don't know who your father is. Or if you know who he is, you don't trust him. David said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to be anywhere else. That's the safest place to be. So, the moment we're born again, this is the cloud. Amen? Amen? But we now taste it. Position is different. Having knowledge is different from reality. Mm-hmm. As we mature in the things of God, that's when this becomes a reality. And as we keep maturing and maturing, this will start operating and operating. It's a growing process. Mm-hmm. But other than that, that doesn't mean this does not exist. But this respects you.
Yeah.
This will say, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. They know who you are and they respect you. So that's the atmosphere of the three realms of life. And those who know their God here, they do exploits in the earth. They change situations in the earth. God is bringing us to that point where he's revealing things to us, and You might call it anything. We are making a difference now in the spirit. Nationally, local, is revealing.
Yes,
when God reveals something here, it's done.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So, the whole world is under darkness. And all that this does is to steal, kill, and destroy. Whether through ideology, whether through doctrines, whether through laws, whether through this, whether through that. This comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So they are groaning, the people in the earth are groaning because of the weight and the bondage of this spirit. They don't know. Paul says they don't know who is here. But we ought to know. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So what Paul is saying is, we don't hear. When you start maturing in the things of God, he says, you don't fight with human beings. He says the problem is this one. Deal with this in the spirit, and things will change in the physical realm. So, why is it powerful to have the fruit of the spirit? Because you can pray in tongues, you can have gifts, you can have power, but if you don't have the fruit of the spirit, you cannot really operate in this power the way you should. Why? Because the fruit of the spirit is what gives you the capacity to serve this kingdom with love. This kingdom only operates by love. And love is not an imagination. Love is a reality of the character of God. Love is long-suffering. Love is patient. Love is temperate. Love is gentle. Love is goodness. Love is, look at all the things, love is peace. Love is that. So what happens? Satan, he has blinded the world, characterized them, giving them a lifestyle, giving them a way of thinking. They are completely ignorant and totally in bondage. So God says, if I raise up somebody and they don't have my love, they will use the power of this kingdom and they will not walk in love. What does that mean? That's why God takes people and trains them and gives them his character. What does love mean? Love means all these people here, whether they are homosexual, whether they are bisexual, whether they are bisexual, whether they are in darkness. They are totally taking over. Whether they are harmless. I came out of a bad lifestyle. I was in darkness. God, all the people here were, they are demonized. And so hell has blocked them. And so God raises people here and say, the only way the people here will know that I live is that you become like me, light. And for you to be light, you must have love. Amen?
Amen.
But what religion has done is we have God here, we have Satan here, and we are religiously condemning people who are in darkness. You cannot save somebody that God. You cannot hate and destroy somebody God wants to save. He says God so loved this world. He died for them when they were sinners. If you are willing to die for a sinner, then you are willing to be a blessing. Amen? So without love, our gifts are used for selfish purposes. The purpose of love is to be a light. Amen? Is if they are hungry, feed them.
Right.
If they are cursing you, pray for them. If they are beating you and persecuting you, pray for them. Jesus was saying this about the sons of the kingdom. Why? Because they are in darkness. If they make laws to destroy you, I was one of the people that couldn't take it. But they make laws because of darkness. Satan already programmed these people to hell. Heaven wants to deprogram. And the power of God can do it. But God is looking for somebody who can see beyond the wickedness that we call. I'll give you a final example before we go up a lot, and then we'll finish. Satan programmed the city of Nineveh for hell. They only had 40 days left before judgment came and destroyed the land. And God sent Jonah and says, go to Nineveh and tell the people we only have 40 days left to destroy them. Jonah didn't want to go initially, but when God told him they will die in 40 days, he decided to go a little bit, and he was kicked into the whale's belly. Jonah was a prophet, was a Christian that did not completely know the mind of God for the last. So he went with the wicked must die. 40 days they must die. Their time is over. I'm glad now after 40 days we are done with this wickedness. God sent fire. So Jonah went and told them exactly what God said. He didn't know he would bring the fear of God upon them. They received the fear of God, called their animals and cats to repent, and God forgave them. They got saved. Jonah got mad. Using the power of God for selfish purposes. That is love. God wanted to save the people. But if you go to the next chapter, after Jonah, you go study now. Later, when Nineveh rebelled, and they did not repent, then judgment came. And they were wiped completely out. Without repentance. Amen? Now, really quickly, for the few minutes we have. You see why I brought the fire? God writes a book about everybody. What you do, it keeps record. The book of remembrance, Malachi talks about. Why? Because there's a time of reckoning. Amen? Now, from the fall of man, every flesh living, everyone, our mindset, everything we are, if you're living in Iraq or if you're living in some part, your mind has been programmed by darkness. By the religion, Hindu or whatever. You were raised in that culture. You were bred in that culture. Your grandparents came in that culture. And you receive the doctrines of that culture. That is what you grew up in. That is what you believe. That's who you are. And if they say, go kill somebody, you kill. Go do this, you do. Everything, you are fulfilling exactly what you believe was to be God. Amen?
Amen.
That's what a lot of them do. But when this comes, when somebody breaks through, this comes. This is the only atmosphere. This is the only power. This is the only thing that will bring light in the midst of darkness. And then after they receive Christ, you have to, that mindset have to be shifted and transformed and changed to the mind of Christ. And that's how we grow in the things of the Lord. So this series and the direction we're going to be looking at is because God is about to reveal his sons and daughters in the earth. Amen?
Amen.
Reveal the sons of God in the earth. Now, for just what we have learned today, let me tell you three things that you can begin to exercise. Understanding this principle. The reason why I shared a little bit of this, because sometimes you need a little bit of testimony. I've had a series of confrontations, but there's one that I had that really let me know that when you truly know God, this is the atmosphere that surrounds you. Darkness will bow. Okay. Let's go back to John chapter 1. Three things. It says we go from glory to glory. See the growth process. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? The first principle he says, once you are a child of God, you are born again. Jesus was born again. The moment you are born again, the first thing that we need to understand about the Word of God, that's why I said we want to learn. The Word of God is, one, you must understand that everything was created by the Word. Amen?
Amen.
If everything is created by the Word, that means the Word still has the power to create. It cannot change. The Word still has the power to create. The Word still has the power to nullify things in creation that has been distorted. That's why by the power of the word, the blind can see. Anything God has created that Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy can be refixed by the word of God.
Amen.
The word of God can still speak to control creation. That's why the Red Sea can part at the word of the Lord. That's why the dead can rise. That's why the lame can walk. The word still has the power to restore. The word still has the power. God told Jeremiah, I put my word in your mouth. And because of my word in your mouth, now you can tear down, you can rip up, you can do this, you can build, you can plant, you can do. In other words, the word has power. So, the word has no limit. The word, he says, I've sent my word to what? Heal. I've sent my word to this. The word has the power to restore any damage. If the word can cause you to be born again, the word can restore anything. The word can do anything. Why is it that the word can do anything? Because it says the word is God. If you believe the word, you're believing what? God! That's why I said all things are possible to them that will believe. When you pray, say, don't come to me with double mind. He that comes to me must believe that was what? I am God. And you are praying according to his word. When you are praying the word of God, you are standing with God. And he's standing with you. Amen?
Amen.
So number one point. As a believer, your most powerful place to stand is the word of God. All the temptations Satan came to test about his soul was his all our trials are for the word of God. Do you believe it? Amen?
Amen.
So really quick, number one is the word. The moment you get born again, the first thing you must eat, even from milk to meat, is the word of God. You must be established on the word. You must, God told Joshua, if you are going to succeed, if you're going to maintain, you're going to take over, meditate on that word day and night. So you can put the list there. Believers don't meditate on the word anymore. My brothers, any other ground you stand on, anything you stand on will fall. On that trial, the house will fall. The only thing you can stand on as a believer is the word. Because when you stand on the word, you're standing with God. So that's number one. Number two, it says, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light. Number two, the word is the life of God. He says in 1:4, it says, and the word became what? Flesh. And dwelt among us. Meaning, Jesus was born in the flesh by a virgin. He lived here. The word is not a letter. It's a spiritual DNA that matures. It's called a spirit man. It's a real person. Amen?
Amen.
It's a real person. If that person doesn't grow in you, you will not understand. That person is the DNA of God. The seed. Incorruptible seed. Amen? It's the life of God. What is the life of God? That word is different from any other word. Life is called in Greek, Zoe. Zoe is the nature of God. It carries the love of God. It carries the life. It's the life of God. It can never die. Amen?
Amen.
That life is called eternal life. That life can never be corrupted. It's incorruptible. That life can only return back to heaven. That's why anything that is not born again, it doesn't matter how religious you are. It doesn't matter the title you carry. You cannot make it to heaven without Jesus.
Mm. Amen.
He is the life, that is the way, the truth, and the life. Without the life that is in Christ, that seed that was saved, nobody can make it to heaven.
Amen.
It's the life of God. Now let me tell you how powerful that life is. That life of God, which comes from the blood of the Lamb, that life has the capacity and the ability to give life to everything around it. How does it do that? The moment you're born again, you're born again by the word of God, but you're born again because of the life of the Spirit of God in that word. The Spirit of God causes you to be born again. So that's why I call you are born by the Spirit. And the Spirit of God is a quickening spirit, is a life-giving spirit. And when you are born again and you are in the Spirit of God, that life that is in the Spirit of God begins to give life to your mortal body. When the Lord gave me that revelation, I told you all, you know, sometimes God allows things so you can learn. I can talk about healing and talk about things. If I have not experienced it, I might be talking about it out of pride and not understand how to wait and to understand people who are waiting on God. So I went through this process of having this pain and this, I mean, unbelievable. I've told you all. And one day the Lord says, the same spirit, meaning that life flowing river that is in Christ lives in you. If you can raise Jesus that died 3 days, raise Lazarus, why can't you quicken your mortal body? I started saying, oh my God.
Hallelujah.
Holy Ghost, you live in me. You are life and you are my spirit man. I pray the spirit, I thank God. I just keep praying. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. That spirit will give life to my mother. You see, wherever that river goes, it gives life. It's the life of God. Amen?
Amen.
It's the life of God. So I kept saying it. I kept saying it. And I kept ignoring the pain. And ignoring the pain. And it was a process. And this is what the Lord reminded me. And I want to tell you this. Because the purpose of the gospel is for us to grow in grace.
Amen.
You must grow.
Amen. Yes,
and we keep growing.
Yes.
The Lord said, the reason why a lot of people give up on their miracle is because they don't understand the principle of the widow and the friend at midnight. Jesus used that tool as prayer keys. He didn't say as soon as the widow woman started crying for, it just had a result. He said there was a resistance. Something has to build his faith. Do you really believe what you... have you made up your mind? Do you really believe? And the widow woman kept on and kept on. He used it, the perseverance, the persistence. He kept on because he believed. All things are possible to them that belief is not a spontaneous thing. Belief is the ability to be tested and your mind does not change on what
yes,
you stood.
Sir. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
Some people, they get tested, the pain comes this other direction. You pray, no. Belief is when you're going through the pain, you're going through the thing, but you are still standing.
Yeah.
You are still standing.
Yeah.
And you're using the word of God as your sword. Yeah. Yes, God will do this. He says Abraham kept calling himself a father of nations until he was quickened and Sarah's womb that was dead received life from his word.
Amen.
And he kept part.
Uh-huh.
After much confession.
Uh-huh.
I did that. I was like, God, why should I be doing this? He should just, he says, I'm teaching you something.
Uh-huh.
It's not like he can't do it instantly, but he wanted me to relate to people.
Uh-huh.
Who are standing. Uh-huh. Who are believing. Because I would have been very condemning in my words, because Moses was trained for 40 years to lay down his mindset. So that sense will release in you. That sense will release in me. So I put that word to practice. That word is no more letter in the Bible. That word is life to me, because I've seen what that word can do. Amen.
Amen.
So it's life. It's not only the life that we receive here, my brothers and sisters, is a life that destroys fear.
Amen.
Why does it destroy fear? The greatest fear of man is death. This life cannot die. People are afraid of death when you have life. The disciples, not one after Pentecost was afraid of death anymore. Before Pentecost, they were always afraid. Because the moment you're born again, you went from death to life. Why will you be afraid of death again? The reason people are afraid of death is because they don't have a destination. They don't know where they're going when they die. My brothers, we know where we are going.
Yeah.
If you believe it, then you should not be concerned about living a filthy environment.
Amen.
Some people say, well, I love heaven so much, and you hear a crack of God and you're running for your life. Amen. We all do that. Amen.
Amen.
If we love heaven so much, why are we afraid of COVID? We already have masks. We have everything. You saw the at inauguration. People were hugging themselves with masks. They were not. They were not afraid of COVID because they were fulfilling assignment. Amen.
Amen.
I tested God on this life. I said, God, I don't want. Now that I came out of the Bible college, and I said, all this is knowledge. I want to know you. If I'm going to serve you, I want to know who I'm talking about. I want to explain. Where are the miracles? Where are these? Where are these? Where? I just want to know you. And I want to live above death. If this life is real. So, I didn't say it with my mouth. I acted upon it. I locked up all my property. And I told people I was traveling. They didn't know what I had in mind. And I left. And I told the Lord, I'm not coming back until I experience it. And I went away, and I didn't come back. I went to where, if it's possible that death exists, I will die there. I went there. I went there. If it was possible to die, I would have died. At the second day, I heard this monstrous animal coming out of the bush and making noise. My mind was tested. I can't run. It was 3 a.m. in the morning. I was the only person in the whole mountain. And this thing was coming. You could hear the loudness of the sound in the forest. You could just know it was a monstrous bear or whatever. If I climb the tree, where would I? So I said, all through the night, I pray in the spirit. During the day, I study the Bible. So I just kept praying in the spirit. But in my mind, I was saying, aha, you know what this is the road. Amen? The mind is human. So I was tested. So thank God there was nowhere I could run in darkness. So I prayed in the spirit, and I started praying more louder in the spirit. And all of a sudden, the noise, instead of coming this way, started going the opposite way. And that was it. So, at the third day, God gave me that scripture with Abraham. You don't have to die in the flesh to know that you have experienced something. Because what I told the Lord, I said, it's possible in Nigeria, it's possible here in America, driving on the road, consider me there. All these people that are having accidents, let me be one of them. So let me live like I have had an accident and died. From now on, let me have the mindset I'm living for you. Because if I've died, what would I be doing? So I say, God, let me consider myself to have had an accident and died, so I'll be free to give you my life. So I said, from now on, I'm living for you. That's why I wasn't going to be married or do anything else. Because I feel I am good. My time is gone. Well, let's look at the third one. Number three. Amen?
Amen.
Number three. The light. My brothers and sisters, there are two major things that makes us light to the world. Number one is signs and wonders for unbelievers. Signs and wonders. That is the only way God advertises his light. But number one happens for the glory of God and a reflection of a revealing God. But number one is not completely the perfect one. Number two is the character of God.
Yes, sir.
What is the character of God? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a character of God. Daniel had the character of God. Jesus on the cross had the character of God. It's when you are put under the worst threat, the worst persecution, the worst trial by wicked people, by like Stephen, and you still love. You still say, forgive them. So you say love, and that thing doesn't destroy you. They say, that's a different person. That is light. I want that. My brothers and sisters, finally, we could have talked more on these things, but finally, to close where we started, flesh and blood is not our problem. If you want to fight three battles, fight like Jesus, fight like Daniel, fight like the people of old, fight like, you know what they fought with? They fought with the sword of the Spirit. How do you fight with the sword of the Spirit? No matter what you're going through, seek God for a word from heaven. The moment you hear a word, God says, go, you will recover all. You will recover all. The moment you hear a word from God, Moses, don't worry about this, move on. Move on the rest in with that. The moment you hear from God, Esther, go before the king, you go, the way will clear. All you need is a word from heaven. And your battle is over.
Amen.
God fights.
Amen.
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 My brothers, that's how we rule.
Amen.
And that's how this bows.
Oh.
And that's where God is calling us.
Oh.
To become children of God. I pray we'll take this a little bit further as we grow in this season. Amen.
Amen.
Let us love one another.
Amen.
Let us love one another. Let us forbear. Let us be long suffering. Let us believe for one another. Let's trust God for people. Don't easily give up.
Yes, yes,
yes. Amen?
Amen?
Fight in the Spirit.
Yes.
And see what God does. And if somebody in any way is not of God, and you're fighting it, God will uproot. He said, any plant that my Father has not planted, I will uproot it. Mount Zion is a good example of that. Nobody will stand in this house too long if they're not of God. I pray the prayer. Anybody in this house that is contrary to this, will not survive it.
Yeah.
No matter how long.
Yes.
I don't have to fight it.
Amen.
This is the Holy Ghost ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
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 Super honey. Father, we thank you so much for what you're doing. We give you glory, we give you honor. Father, help us to meditate on your word. Help us, oh God, to allow the life that you have given birth to us to be matured. Help us to walk in the knowledge of your word.
Amen.
Father, let us become light.
Amen.
Make us an example of you under pressure.
Amen.
And Father, put your word in our lips when we deal with issues. Have your way in this day, oh God. And receive all the glory.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.